Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And you're going to be glad you hung out with me, too, because we got a very interesting person on the show right now. We have a lot of interesting people, but this Bruce Bartlett is a new friend. Now, he's kind of not a new friend to me because I've known him a long time through his writing. We've only just met, but he is new to the show, and Bruce is an economic historian. How many of those guys do you know? Not too many of those guys around, are there? And he spent the last several decades working in politics and public policy. He's written quite a bit on these topics, a number of books. Many of you, I first saw him, first found him in his writings for the Wall Street Journal. He's currently a weekly writer, columnist for Forbes. And he's got a new book out called The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward. And he's our new friend, Bruce Bartlett. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here, Bruce. I've enjoyed reading you. I haven't always agreed with you, but I have enjoyed your work. I think you're an intellectually honest person. I think we need more people like that in public policy today, and I suspect you agree with me on that. Bruce, I call myself a heretic. And to me, a heretic is a true believer who doesn't like the status quo. Would that describe you right now?
I guess I'm not entirely sure what I am these days.
Well, now, that's not good, Bruce. You should know what you are. But now you were a true believer. The reason I use that term is you once were a true believer and a standard bearer for supply side economics.
Well, that's true. I went to work for Jack Kemp on his congressional staff
back
in
1977,
and he was just inventing supply side, and he and my and you know a number of other people who were you know hung around the office,
Art Laffer,
like Art Laffer,
like
and
mm-hmm.
Robert Mundell and Dave Stockman. You know, we kind of collectively invented this thing.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's true. I was there at the beginning.
Tell the audience, define supply economics for some of the folks who might not know what it is.
Well, the problem we confronted in the 1970s, what you remember, was something we called stagflation.
Yep, I was there.
Very slow growth, high unemployment, and inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And the existing, the views of economists at that time was, you really couldn't do about anything about one problem without making the other problem worse. The cure for inflation was higher unemployment, and the cure for unemployment was higher inflation. So those were the only options that policymakers had, and they didn't like either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what the supply siders said is you can do two things. You can tighten the money supply. That'll bring down inflation. And if you cut tax rates, that will increase growth and reduce unemployment.
Because without the tax cuts, what the first thing you just said would not stimulate the economy.
That's right. Monetarism tells you how to reduce inflation, but it doesn't tell you how to increase growth.
Right.
And tax rate cuts, you know, by themselves will help, but you need a stable monetary system, stable inflation, to really get growth going. So there are two sides of the same coin that were necessary to be done together.
And in those days, the Keynesian theory of economics was kind of prevalent.
Yes.
And it wasn't working, was it?
No, because the Keynesian theory was invented in the 1930s
mm-hmm.
when we had a problem of deflation.
Right.
The problem was falling prices.
Mm-hmm.
And Keynes basically had a theory that would create inflation.
So you guys came up with what became known as Reaganomics, which is lower taxes and supply side economics, which includes lower taxes, right?
Yeah, and deregulation
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other stuff
right.
to get the economy growing again.
As a business owner, that's still very attractive to me. As someone who's a small business owner and who advocates for small business, Bruce, those principles are still very attractive for me. Where did we go wrong?
Well, the problem for the Keynesians was that they kept ladling on more and more deficits long past the point where inflation was a problem, and what they were doing was making the problem worse. And and I think that we've kind of gotten off the track a little bit with supply side, too, because we were very particular about the particular types of tax cuts that we were in favor of. We wanted marginal tax rate reductions. And I think during the George W. Bush years, that theory got off the track, and a lot of bad tax cuts, that is, ineffective tax cuts, were enacted in the name of supply-side economics,
that didn't work. Hold on to that thought, Bruce. I got to take a quick break. Folks, bad tax cuts. I'm having a hard time digesting that concept. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bruce Bartlett to compare Reaganomics to Obamanomics. 20 till. Stay with us. The book is called The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward by Bruce Bartlett. Little Chicago bringing us back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right back to our conversation with our new friend Bruce Bartlett, someone I've been following his writing now for probably at least 20 years. Bruce was one of the founders and followers of supply side economics, and he helped develop Reaganomics along with Jack Kemp and others. He's got a new book called The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward. Bruce, we lost a great American earlier this year, Jack Kemp, one of your friends. And I'm curious if you've thought about what Jack would think about your book.
Well, I would hope that he'd read it and think about what I argue, because I give him and the others who were involved in ending the stagflation and getting the economy moving again back in the late 70s, early 80s, an enormous amount of credit. But I think that what has happened is that the people today who talk about supply-side economics don't really understand what it was all about, and they're mouthing a phrase that is devoid of meaning to them, and they've adopted a one-size-fits-all economic policy that consists of tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, and more tax cuts. And I just think that we need to be more discriminating and analyze the economic conditions more carefully and come up with policies that are truly appropriate to those conditions, rather than just saying the same old thing that we say all the time.
But you're calling it the failure of Reaganomics, but that in your book, on your book cover, but you're not really saying Reaganomics is a failure. You're saying it's being misapplied. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's right. The Reaganomics of the 1980s, I still support, but a lot of what was called supply-side economics in the 2000s really wasn't supply-side economics. Mm-hmm. That's the distinction I'm trying to make.
And so you think fiscal conservatives and the GOP need to find a new song, basically, don't you?
Yeah, I just think they need to look at the real conditions in the economy and say, and instead of just saying the same old thing. I mean, there seems to be no economic problem or social problem that Republicans can't find some tax cut to cure.
Well, and Bruce, I want to say that I agree with you. I hear your point, because I think I'm a supply sider. I admit to being that, but I also know that times change, and you have to have tools for what the job requires, not old tools that don't fit anymore. I believe that too, but what I do know is that higher taxes are the enemy of small business, the people that I advocate for and who I am, and because our higher taxes suck capital, precious capital, right out of our businesses. And so when someone talks about, you know, I would agree that we don't need to cut taxes, but I'm sure not in favor of raising taxes.
Well, I think it's the problem is that higher taxes are inevitable, because we have so much spending that is never going to get cut, and the magnitude of the spending cuts that would have to be enacted now to prevent the necessity of higher taxes, or else we'd have deficits of the order of what we have right now,
right,
year after year after year, and clearly that's not
that's
the benefit
sustainable.
Of small businesses or anybody
yeah.
else. We'd have to slash entitlement programs, slash Medicare, slash Social Security. Those things are just not going to happen.
And one of the things, one of the things you do in your book is you, and as you get into it, and as I did, I saw that you, what you were talking about is application more than philosophy. It seemed to me, that you're talking. It's not that you love higher taxes; it's that you're talking about raising taxes or collecting revenue for the government in a more efficient manner. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, one of the lessons of supply side economics is it's much better to have low, flat rates, tax base, as much taxation on consumption
right.
as possible, as little on income as possible, as little taxation on saving and investment as possible. I still believe in all those things, but I'm just afraid that if we don't address the fiscal problem that our country faces, that when some sort of crisis occurs that will finally force Congress to act, and if the same people who are in charge now of Congress and the White House are still in charge, they're going to soak the rich. They're going to
yeah.
jack up tax rates,
yeah, right?
And we're going to be a lot worse off. And
which
so
you're
I,
not in favor of, and I'm glad to hear that. But just because it's not that it's just not the right thing to do, not the right way to look at it. But you seem to be in favor of a value added tax.
That's right. The value added tax is a kind of sales tax. It's a tax on consumption that is embedded in the prices of goods and services, so that you don't pay at the checkout like you do with a sales tax. It's simply in the prices of goods and services. So, and this has proven to be a very, very effective tax almost every other country uses. It has the virtue of not taxing saving and investment.
But it's a new tax on top of everything else, Bruce, and I don't
well,
have a problem.
As I said, we have to raise revenues. We have to raise net revenues to pay for the spending.
Well, why don't
so
we,
there,
cut,
there,
why don't we cut the spending, Bruce?
What?
Why don't we cut the spending?
Oh, fine. Go ahead. I just,
but that's
you know,
the
where,
problem. We got no leadership to cut the spending.
Well, but what if they don't?
Yeah,
and what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just not for taxing us into oblivion. And one of the problems I got
we're already being taxed into oblivion because the spending is a kind of tax.
Yeah,
it takes
yeah.
money out of the economy.
You're right about that. Hold on to that thought, Bruce. I got to take a quick break, folks. The VAT tax, I would agree to that if we could repeal the 16th Amendment, which is what gave rise to the income tax. One or the other, not both, in my opinion. We'll talk to Bruce about this after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, soon-to-be old friend, Bruce Bartlett. Bruce is the author of The New American Economy, The New American Economy, The Failure of Reaganomics, and A New Way Forward. And Bruce is a New York Times bestselling author, and many of you see his byline in a lot of different places, especially Forbes and other places. Bruce, tell us where the book's available, how we can find it.
Well, it's available at Amazon and all the online places, and should be available at better bookstores everywhere.
And it's just now out, right? I mean, it's just now.
It was just published a week ago yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how about your own website? You want to give us that?
Well, I blog at a site called CapitalGainsAndGames.com. That's
okay.
All one word, Capital Gains and Games.
Okay, so check that out. Bruce, as we went to the break, I had to stop you because we were going to a break, and I said as we went out that I would be in favor of the VAT tax if we could repeal the 16th Amendment, which gave rise to the income tax. I think having a VAT tax on top of an income tax is, and this is going to really show my true fiscal colors, I think that's just going to give politicians another opportunity to spend more money.
Well, maybe it will, but I just think we're faced with unpalatable alternatives. If you absolutely refuse to support a VAT, then the alternative is higher income tax rates. and I think that's worse. And if you refuse to support higher income tax rates, then we're inevitably going to have massive deficits that are going to cause massive inflation and high interest rates, and I think that's worse. So it's a question of choosing, you know, your poison.
What about another thing, though, Bruce? This is something I've been predicting for about a year now, and that is a revolution. See, and I'm not talking about, you know, manning the ramparts revolution. I'm talking about an ideological revolution. I'm talking about Americans taking back their country from the political class on both sides of the aisle and saying, wait a minute, guys, you know, this has gotten out of hand, and we're gonna unemploy you and put some people in who will get our country back on. I mean, I think what you're doing, what you're proposing is creating an upward spiral, or maybe ultimately a downward spiral. Why don't we just cut off the supply to these people?
Well, the problem is that, A, there's no leader. B, the people who run around, you know, at tea parties and such things, none of them are willing to support any specific cut in spending. They're all against the deficit, but if you ask them, well, what should we cut, you never get an answer from them because they don't know anything about federal budgeting.
Right.
And the really big things that have to be cut are things like Medicare that have massive, massive support from groups like the AARP.
Yeah.
And there's no equivalent group. You'd have to have a group at least as big and as powerful as the AARP to even begin to do what you're talking about.
So basically you're saying that the special interests have taken control of our nation.
Well, yes, but I mean, I'm talking about one particular interest, which is the elderly, because they vote in the highest percentages of any age group in the population.
And there are about to be more of them than ever before.
Well, and the percentage of them is getting bigger as the baby boom ages and as longevity increases the number of people who are alive in that age group.
I have to say, though, Bruce, I am not, nor do I ever plan to be a member of AARP.
Uh-huh.
They're the enemy of small business, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Bruce, I want to you're going to come back. You've agreed to come back. Thank you for that. We got a lot more things to talk about. Before you go, I want you to talk to us about health care. I've got about a minute.
That's not really my area of expertise, but my main concern is that we not pass a health reform that will increase the deficit.
Right.
I think that it's absolutely essential that whatever they do be paid for honestly,
right?
And that's sort of the one thing about it that I'm paying attention.
Well, that's good information, and of course that means that you would be by association not for the public option idea, right? Because that's
not necessarily. I don't know what will work on the spending side. I just want to make sure it's properly financed. And isn't just another giveaway. That's the one thing that I can pay attention to that I'm worried about.
I've got only short time. Is capitalism as we know it dead?
No, but it's definitely getting into middle age, and it's going to be changed, and it's not going to be the same. But we have to make sure we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, thank you so much for being here. Folks, the book is called The New American Economy by Bruce Bartlett. That's two T's on the end. The Failure of Reaganomics and a New Way Forward, available wherever books are sold. Bruce, thank you for being here today. It's been very interesting to hear you speak. I don't agree with everything you're saying, but you're intellectually honest, and I like that. And therefore, I'm going to invite you back, and I hope you will come back again real soon.
Okay, thank you.
Bruce Bartlett, ladies and gentlemen, The New American Economy is the book. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.